Hey, welcome to the TEEP podcast, brought to you by CECO and the University of Houston Energy Department. I'm your host, Gary Gildert, and we're joined this week by Dub Taylor from PACE. Welcome to the podcast, Dub.
Thanks, Gary. Glad to be here and join you today and be part of this ongoing educational effort by UH Energy. So, yeah, nice to be here with you.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got here.
Yeah, so my background is sort of mixed between public and private sector activity over a few decades. I started off in commercial real estate, property management, property appraisal, property tax consulting, that sort of business, working with different type of commercial property. And it was mostly in Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area, just after the SNL bust of the 80s, trying to reform their properties, get them back into operating condition, back on the tax rolls, back productive. And one thing led to another, and I got involved in a political campaign that landed me in Austin, which I thought was going to be very temporary. The idea of working for the state was not appealing at the time, and my mind got changed quickly, and public service sort of caught the public service bug, and almost 30 years later retired from the state after what I thought was going to be a 6-month or a 1-year stopover. My last duty station, I guess you could say, with the state was I ran the State Energy Conservation Office, or CECO. We worked, in fact, then with UH Energy to support industrial energy efficiency programs and really kind of leverage the relationships and a lot of the academic research and so forth that University of Houston has. Retired from that position 6 years ago and did some consulting work, including with Texas PACE Authority, which is a nonprofit PACE program administrator working across the state of Texas with cities and counties to operate their PACE financing programs. And so,
okay, so Dub, we've said PACE.
PACE.
Probably
what does that
four
mean?
Or five times you have, and I have a couple of times for our audience. What is PACE? What does that stand
okay.
for?
Okay, PACE is not the salsa, although I guess it is, but in this case, PACE stands for Property Assessed Clean Energy. And that is the acronym, and the missing letter really that should be at the end is F for financing, because it's a financing structure, a financing program.
Yes.
That provides long-term, low-cost capital for property owners who are looking to make energy and water efficiency investments in their properties. Bottom line, that's really what it's all about. So Texas PACE Authority I joined them again 6 years ago, more of in a consulting capacity. And then January 1st, I took over as CEO, as the founding president of Texas PACE Authority had an opportunity to retire. And so she remains with us as the board president, but operationally now I serve as the CEO of Texas PACE Authority.
You mentioned that PACE is primarily a financing type of organization, that's what you do. Why do we even need PACE? Don't we have banks that serve that function in the private sector?
So that's an excellent question. And PACE is a state-enabled, legislatively-enabled program. And it was designed to help address a gap and really a problem that exists. And that is that, to your point, conventional financing tools don't align well with projects that have longer paybacks. So in particular, say a building operator or owner or a plant manager has capital needs for energy and water efficiency projects that they've identified. And usually there's two options. If the company has the capital and has the budget, then they can utilize that. Oftentimes it's not adequate, given the capital requirements for these types of projects, or even if you do have a well-capitalized, budget or the ability to allocate internal capital to these projects, typically that money goes to projects that either increase throughput or, again, have a 1, 2, 3, maybe a 4-year, ROI. And energy and water efficiency projects tend to have a longer payback. And depending on the application, if it's a large industrial project where there are, you know, considerable amounts of energy and water consumed for various processes, you know, it might be a 5-year payback. Well, you know, 5 is not 3. 5 falls outside of that requirement, and so the projects, you know, aren't initiated. Same thing on a commercial building where, you know, a property owner may be able to access, you know, equipment financing through a bank, through a conventional lending structure. Typically, those limits are, you know, 5 to 6 to 7 years for projects that have energy and water efficiency benefits. And the payback, you know, for those projects tends to be, you know, 10, 15, 20, whatever, you know, the useful life of the equipment is. So there's a disconnect.
I was going to say the same thing. Most of these energy efficiency programs or projects, I was going to say, they're based on equipment and facilities that last a long time. Like even a decent air conditioner, HVAC system, that's got a 10-year life, and often this is even guaranteed. You re-insulate something, it's good for the life of the facility, whatever it is, a building or equipment.
Right.
So there seems to be a real disconnect between private financing timeframes and the life of the project timeframes.
Exactly. And that is really what, you know, again, PACE was designed to tie those two things together. So, you know, the impact, the negative impact of either not moving a project forward or doing a project in a piecemeal fashion is that buildings and mechanical and electrical plumbing systems are systems. And when you adjust something or change something in one part, you do it again in a piecemeal, not in a holistic systems approach. You tend to wind up with, you know, sub-optimized performance. And because, you know, again, sort of the weakest link in the system is what's going to impact operations. And so, you know, it's budget constraints are realistic. All these things that factor into decisions. Well, by being able to step back and say, what does the facility really need? Does it need, you know, equipment, pumps, motors, electrical upgrades, whatever it may be, from a systems standpoint, to really optimize the operation and get the best performance and the best payback, even with a high price tag, now you can use PACE financing to support a project like that and really, you know, kind of extract the maximum value and maximum performance out of the upgrade or retrofit opportunity. And the same thing goes with new construction. In the event of a, you know, new facility, there are always budget pressures, and the things that get cut are typically the things that are sort of hidden behind the walls that you can't see, which tend to be the most energy and water consuming components. And so, PACE can be used with new development as well to keep those projects together and really allow the owner to kind of future-proof the facility, understanding that there's going to be increased demands on water, energy, and associated pricing will be higher.
So we've talked a lot about buildings, that's your background, but somewhere in there you hinted that industrial facilities can also use this?
Yeah, absolutely. So PACE is property and technology agnostic. And so if it is a commercial property, and commercial can mean industrial, commercial can mean manufacturing, commercial can mean retail, hospitality, multifamily. So it's a broad definition. And in the case of industrial facility or manufacturing, the key requirement is that to be eligible for PACE, the project needs to result in energy or water savings. So that's kWh, kW, gallons, or produce power on site. Obviously, if you're capturing waste heat from a combined heating and power plant, using that either for additional power generation or for process heat, that is an efficiency play, right? I mean, that means you've got a fixed number of units of energy going into the system, and you're getting increase in output or productivity from those units of energy. So on-site power in a CHP operation, again, all those things could be PACE financed, because from the think of it from the meter standpoint, if the project you know, either reduces how fast the meter spins or creates, maybe spins it the other direction, then whatever causes that is PACE financeable.
So CHP, combined heat and power, for those slightly less technical people in the audience.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. So is there a best type of project, you think, that PACE should be applied to, or just anything?
Yeah, so we tend to see, I guess, kind of the early adopters with PACE have been, you know, commercial property owners, a lot of hotels and hospitality, multifamily, retail, these sorts of things, because, you know, as I mentioned, they either had older mechanical electrical plumbing systems, or maybe the ones that were installed in a fairly new facility just weren't performing as well as they had hoped. And they want to replace and upgrade.
Or value engineered.
Or value engineered, yes, subject to value engineering. So we've seen a lot of that. We have seen a couple of manufacturing projects, and I think in the larger, you know, chemical refining, there's a big opportunity there because, again, these tight payback thresholds for internal capital prevent a lot of projects from moving forward. And every industrial energy manager, plant manager I've talked to, you know, as part of their job, they constantly assess conditions in the plant and equipment conditions and where there's optimization opportunities. Some of these are, you know, maintenance, they're commissioning, they're not capital projects, but many are. And so those capital projects, you know, keep getting kicked down the road to where we'll replace it at turnaround or, you know, replace it at failure. You don't want that to happen because now you knock a process offline until it's back. But PACE can be applied to those capital needs for, you know, furnaces, boilers, compressed air systems, water treatment, all of those things. And it can be done in more of a staged and planned way versus having to deal with it really on an emergency basis.
So how does someone apply for this program? How do you get it started?
Yeah, so there's, you know, at the end of the day, this is sort of operates like any other type of a loan or a financing agreement. So there are underwriting criteria, there's credit criteria that will be evaluated. But what makes PACE different is the loans are really premised on the savings potential from the project. So there's also an engineering component with PACE that occurs on the front end. So a technical assessment that is done, either comparing baseline conditions to, you know, sort of a solution or an improved set of conditions, or in the case of new construction, it's taking kind of industry standard and comparing that to a higher efficiency alternative that is in scope for the project. So that engineering study is really the basis for a PACE project where you don't see that with just straight out, you know, bank financing.
Yeah, and so it's not just what the vendor promises, it is
correct.
What an engineering assessment. And
that's
this
right.
is third-party engineering, not just something internal, or is this something PACE does directly?
So there is the engineering study, there's a format, a template, there are certain things that have to be in it that are constant for all PACE projects. But whether the owner does it, if they have the capabilities in-house, that's fine. They can hire their own consultant or engineer. Many of the PACE lenders provide that too as sort of part of the service. But then in Texas, we have something that's pretty unique, and this is really a key quality control element. There is a requirement that a Texas-licensed professional engineer, who is a third party, review that technical report and determine from an engineering standpoint that it's reasonable for the project, it's a reasonable solution, and that the costs and the savings are in balance. And so for the owner, what that provides them is an assurance that, you know, the investment they're making is going to have a certain payback, and they have confidence in that because now that has been reviewed by a third-party Texas PE.
This sounds like a fantastic program, but are you going to run out of money and have to turn people back?
Yeah, so the program, I think, as I mentioned at the outset, is really kind of a financing structure, and again, enabled at either the county or the city level. And we then provide support and really, operationalize and process applications on behalf of the city or the county. But the financing, the capital source is totally private financing.
Oh, okay.
And so what the program does is ties together a, private need, a private opportunity with private financing through this conduit, if you will, that is really a kind of a government structure. So that means there's no, budget pre-allocated. It does not use any public dollars. There are no, I hear a lot of, questions from promoters about, well, this is a government program. There's got to be a lot of red tape and requirements. And the answer is no, because at the end of the day, it's private capital that is financing it. And then because it's private capital and there are multiple PACE lenders out there, I don't want to say that the financing is, the capital is limitless, but it's virtually limitless because, if it's a good investment opportunity,
the same pool as the mortgage industry.
Little bit different pool because it's different lenders, but, what the investors are looking for is, we want a low risk, long-term investment with a reasonable return that also has a quantifiable environmental benefits. And so these do. And so typically, the type of capital we see in the PACE market tends to be institutional investors, pension funds, insurance companies that are looking, for those type of investments that have a very predictable, low risk turn for them.
Are there any questions that I didn't ask that I should have asked of you?
Well, just I think one question you did ask is kind of, where do we see PACE being used? I can tell you in the rearview mirror, how we have seen it used, and all of those applications, retail, commercial, manufacturing, those things are still applicable.
Yeah.
Where we're seeing some requests come in now is more infrastructure kind of projects. So some examples. Data centers, which you read about endlessly, and whether it's a bubble or not, there is a race to put steel in the ground and get facilities up and operational. Well, those data centers have tremendous power requirements, obviously.
Absolutely.
And relying
lots of
just
power, lots of water,
lots of power, lots of water. Fortunately, in Texas, we do have lots of power. We don't have lots of water, so that are now being designed in either a closed loop cooling design that either, that reduces or really eliminates new water requirements, sort of once the system is charged. And that is a water conservation strategy that PACE could finance. So as part of a data center, energy and water optimization for powering the site, is a possibility. We've got one project we're working with a developer on now, where essentially there's going to be a power plant that is adjacent to the data center that is there to provide redundancy, also to sort of, optimize. They plan to use, low cost power when it's available through the grid, but when it's not, if it's more cost effective to operate their power plant, which is a combination of gas turbines, battery storage, and on-site solar, then they're going to run that plant.
Oh, okay.
And so all of that sort of infrastructure supporting the data center is something that would be PACE financeable.
Okay. Well, that sounds exciting. It sounds like you've got a great future ahead of you with PACE. It's a fantastic program. I think I learned a little bit more about it today. So for anyone who wants to know even more about PACE, you did a fantastic webinar the other week with the ETI webinars. So for more information on that, we should have links in the podcast or our previous newsletters. The TEEP newsletter has that information as well as on the website. So once again, Dub, thank you for being a guest on our show. It's been terrific, and we'll see you at the next TEEP meeting.
My pleasure, Gary. Thanks for the opportunity.